Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Ending, let's pray together. God, we love you, and we just thank you that we get to be in your presence right now. Thank you for the gift of your presence, that you are with us in every battle, in every trial, in every rough water we walk through. God, we are never alone. And we just count the joy of knowing that you are with us. God, in these next few minutes, would you just encourage our hearts with what we need to hear this morning, God? We love you. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. You can take a seat, and good morning to everybody. It's good to have you with us today. My name is April Colquitt. I'm our children's pastor, and thank you. And I serve on our communications team, and so sometimes I have the honor of being here and getting to share with you guys in this room. And last week, we kicked off our summer series called Summer Playlist. And so that's what we're talking about today. We're going to dive into that. But I want to ask you guys a question. Do you ever feel like, maybe it's just me, but do you ever feel like you are in a situation or you're facing something, or maybe you just woke up and thought, I don't have what it takes today. I can't do this. I don't have the energy for this. I don't have the emotional bandwidth for this or the patience. I don't have enough of what I need. Maybe it's I don't have enough money. I don't have enough strength. I just don't have it. And I started thinking about this a few weeks ago during soccer season, because this year our daughter, Emily, our youngest, played soccer on the JV team at school. And when the season started out, we looked pretty good. We had won our first couple of games, but then things started sort of trending downhill after that. We had a few really good players, but pretty much every team that we played against were just better, bigger, more skilled, and more experienced than our girls. And so we show up to this one game. Eric and I get there. We find our spots on the bleachers, and we start looking out at the field, and we realize that some of our strongest players are out that day. They have injuries, they're not there. And so if you ever have been in that situation before with a team, you know everybody's already thinking, this could be rough. And it was. It was rough. And it wasn't just that we were down some of our key players. It was that once the game started, our girls got out there and they were not utilizing their positions on the field. They could not connect a pass. They weren't using each other strategically the right way. They were all just kind of like crowding around the ball. And at one point, I looked at Eric and I said, this looks like first or second year rec league soccer. This is supposed to be middle school kids. And if you have ever been a parent with a team, you know what happens to the parents in the stands? We all become professional coaches. Right? And so we're all shouting things at them like, you know, spread out. Get upfield, shoot the ball. And I'm going, hustle, run. Like, we're trying to tell them all the things. And no matter how hard they try, just nothing is coming together. And the harder they worked, the worse it looked, honestly. They were just outmatched. And I started thinking while I was watching that game, this is how we live our life sometimes. I bet this is how we look to God. We find ourselves in these situations where we're just outmatched, right? And we are inadequate and we are underprepared. And when that happens, we start scrambling to make a play. We're trying as hard as we can to stay in control of the ball, to make something happen, to pull together a strategy. But no matter how hard we try to figure it out, no matter what kind of solutions we come up with, we're just running circles on the field. And a lot of us in this room might even say that we believe in God, we trust Him. But honestly, when we feel outmatched like that, we struggle to pass God the ball. We would rather him just be in an advisory role than a management position. We would rather know that we've got the ball right in front of us and we can just maintain control of the ball and convince ourselves that we've got it handled, when really we don't. And at some point, we're all going to find ourselves in a position or in a moment where we're not equipped, and we're not enough, and we're completely outmatched. And if that's you today, you're in a great place, because we're going to look at a story of a man who was in that same exact position, where he was just completely outmatched and under-equipped and not prepared. This summer, we have put together for you a summer playlist, as Trey said last week, of some of our favorite stories from the Bible. And these are stories that we think pretty much everybody can relate to, because when you read the Bible, what we recognize is that there are so many people, so many stories that are just relatable to us, even in 2026. And so we're looking at some of those stories to understand how we can walk and live with wisdom. And so the story that we're going to look at today is found in the Old Testament book of Judges. You've never read Judges. If you don't know much about Judges, it's a very action-packed book. It's full of war and brutality. So if anybody ever says the Bible is boring, then just go read Judges, because I promise you it's not boring. It's kind of brutal. And what happens is the Israelites, who are God's chosen people, I can't talk this morning, God's people, the Israelites, are stuck in this cycle, and what happens is they will wander away from God and his wisdom for a period of time, and they'll start to suffer the consequences of their own decisions, their own choices, and then they get so miserable that they cry out to God for help, and every time they cry out to him, he hears them, and he comes to the rescue. He meets them with compassion and with mercy. And where we're going to jump into this story today is in Judges chapter 6. So if you want to turn there and follow along in your Bible app or your Bible, you can. But where we hop into the story, the Israelites have cried out to God for help because they have been taken over by this group of people called the Midianites. Everybody say Midianites. It's fun to say, isn't it? They've been taken over by these group of people who were just bullying the nation of Israel. The scripture says that the Midianites swarmed in on the nation like a swarm of locusts. And there's just thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. And they've invaded the land where the Israelites live. They've destroyed their crops, stolen their food, taken over their homes. And so the Israelites have escaped into the caves and the mountains to hide from the enemy, and they're just trying to survive. They're in poverty now, they're starving, and they are desperate. And God hears their cry, and he comes to a man named Gideon as his change agent. And this is a different Gideon than you might be familiar with. Sometimes we recognize the name Gideon because Gideon was an angel, the angel who appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and told her that she would give birth to the Son of God. This is not that Gideon. This is a regular man. But Gideon has an encounter with a very special angel. Here's what happens in Judges 6. In verse 11, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer." Side note, trees a lot of times in the Old Testament are where God makes a covenant with his people, or where memories are recorded. Just keep that in your mind. And it says that Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Now, first of all, the angel of the Lord, whenever you see this in scripture, there's sometimes in the Old Testament where we encounter the angel of the Lord. And this is not just any angel, this is the angel. Scholars agree that the angel of the Lord is Jesus in his divine form. So we can understand that Jesus, the Lord himself, has shown up to meet with Gideon in the bottom of a wine press. What is a wine press? Well, it's not where you thresh wheat, first of all. I've never threshed wheat. You probably never threshed wheat. But my understanding is that if a person is going to thresh wheat, they go out into an open, big field where the wind can help separate the grain from the chaff. But Gideon is down in a wine press, which is like this big pit that's carved into a stone where they would press the grapes and the wine. And he's gone down into this wine press to hide. He's trying to hide down there, work with the wheat so that the enemies who are surrounding them won't steal his food. And so this is where the angel of the Lord comes to meet Gideon. And here's what he says. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Mighty hero is an odd thing to say to someone who's hiding, isn't it? Heroes don't hide. If I'm Gideon, I'm probably going to look around and go, who's he talking to? Is there somebody else in here? If I said to you right now, would all the mighty heroes in the room please stand? You would be looking around going, who's she talking to? Who's here today? Is Superman in the room? Who is a mighty hero? And Gideon is thinking the same thing. And he's not convinced he's a mighty hero, nor is he convinced that the Lord is with him. Look at what he says. He says, Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are the miracles our ancestors told us about?" It sounds to me like Gideon is bitter. If I had to guess, Gideon was probably down in that wine press working with wheat, and he's already grumbling to himself about these very same things. Well, they say that the Lord came and rescued these people from Israel, but from Egypt, but where is he now? Where's our rescue? Where's our manna in the desert? We're starving. When are we going to get saved? When are we going to get some help? And then the Lord shows up and says, "Hey, mighty hero, the Lord is with you." But Gideon's not convinced, and he's very honest with his response. And I love that he's so honest, because it means if Gideon can be that honest, we can be that honest. Because when you read these questions, haven't you asked some of these same questions before? Lord, if you really love us, why have you let all this happen to us? If you're really supposed to be helping us, where are the miracles? I've asked those questions before. If you care about us at all, Lord, if you are real, how do you explain what's happening right now? And I love that Gideon is this honest, because if I'm being honest with you and in my experience, what I have learned and what I see in Scripture, what I see in the Bible, is that honesty is the first step. Honesty is key for us to receive the help that God wants to give us. When we can begin to be honest about our limits and our weaknesses, that opens the door for the Lord to come in. And so Gideon is so honest. And here's what the Lord says to him. He says, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you." Here is Gideon saying, "Where are you, Lord? If you're real, why are you not performing miracles for us?" Gideon is wanting answers. And what God gives him is an instruction. He gives him what is seemingly an impossible next step. And like many of us do, Gideon pushes back with more questions. He says, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." He's saying, "I am nobody. I have no authority. They're not going to listen to me. I am small. I'm not important." He's basically saying, "What strength, Lord? How can any of what you're talking about possibly be? How is that possible?" Have you ever faced any circumstances where you're thinking, how is this going to work out? How could I possibly make it through this? How are we going to survive this? How are we going to get through the month? How are we going to overcome this broken thing that's happened in our family? If you're like me, you want all the answers to everything before you ever make a move. We do all this research and, you know, we're asking chat now. We're asking AI, how do we do this? How do we do that? How do we do this? How do we get through that? And when Gideon is so worried about how, the Lord directs him to who. He says this. He said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon wants to know how, and God says, who? He says, I will be with you. I am the strength, Gideon. And it's so interesting to me that God never speaks to Gideon's self-confidence. He never once says, well, Gideon, I believe in you. You're stronger than you think. You can do this. He says, I will be with you. I am your confidence. I am your strength. I am the how. He speaks to Gideon's God confidence. Godfidence, as some people would say. And do you know, all throughout Scripture, anytime anyone ever in the Bible is wrestling with an insecurity or a doubt or a fear, this is how God responds. He says, I'll be with you. He said it to Moses. He said it to Abraham, to Joshua. He said, be strong and courageous because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He said it to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when humanity and the world was at its most broken, weakest place, God did not stand at a distance and say, hope you guys figure it out. I believe in you. He said, no, you need me. And he sent his son Jesus to show us how to live because he knew we'd never figure it out on our own. And he sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sin and Jesus to defeat death for us. And because of Jesus, through Jesus, we have the gift of God's presence. And his presence is the answer for our insecurity. God's presence is the answer for our how. It's not about what we do. It's not about our ability. God is not saying, just try harder. He's saying, I will be with you. So what if when we are facing difficult things where we feel like I do not have what it takes and we keep trying to get control of the ball and figure out a new solution and put together a strategy in the moment and we're trying to make it happen, what if we could reframe our fear and our questions around the understanding that our confidence comes from trusting who? Not from knowing how. It's about knowing who is with us, not in having all of the answers. This right here could reframe our approach to so many things. Because how many of us, when we know there's a next step we have to take, we just hesitate. And we can't seem to make ourselves take that next step because we don't have all the answers for how it's going to work out yet. And we're too scared. Or it feels like that's just too much for us and we can't do it. But when we have put our confidence in who is with us and we've less worried about how, it allows us to live beyond our capacity, beyond our understanding, beyond our skills and our knowledge and our understanding to know that it's who is with us that matters most. I'm not saying how doesn't matter. It's just that who matters more. A few years ago, our family went to Disney World for the very first time. Our kids were teenagers, almost all of them were teenagers. I know we didn't take them as preschoolers. If that makes us a bad parent, I'm okay with it. If you have preschool children or even school-age kids and you've not taken your children to Disney World yet, you're still a great parent. Actually, you might be the best parent because I would not want to take my little kids to Disney. That's just me. You do you. But anyway, Eric's parents had never taken their family to Disney World when they were kids. And I had not been since I was in high school. So needless to say, Disney World is very different now than it was that long ago, which is too long for us to talk about this morning. But we didn't know anything about it. The only people in our group, in our family, who'd ever been was my brother-in-law, Eric's brother, and his wife. And so his brother, Jeff, is a planner. And they've been to Disney World several times. and he knew what he was doing. And Jeff is a spreadsheet guy. Like, he loves a plan. He keeps spreadsheets for our family card games. If you're not keeping spreadsheets on your family card games, what are you doing with your life? Like, we know who won every card game for the last decade. That's not a joke. So Jeff was going to be in charge of this trip. Like, we were going to let Jeff just plan, like, where we were going, what park, what day, where we were eating. He managed our fast passes. He signed us up for lightning lanes. He was our personal tour guide, and he loves that, and it was amazing. And even though we had no idea what we were doing or how we were going to get through four parks with 11 people in 4 days, it was fine because Jeff did know, and Jeff was in charge. See, the point is, our confidence does not come from knowing how it's all going to work out. Our confidence comes from trusting who is with us and who is leading. And if you stop and think about it, you probably have stories like that too. Sometime, at some moment in your life where you did not know what to do or how things were going to go or what the next step was, but there was someone who you could trust. Someone who you look to as the leader, and you were able to go, we're going to be fine because that person is in charge. And for us as Christ followers, and what we're seeing in Gideon's story is that our confidence comes from knowing who, trusting who is with us, not from knowing and understanding how it's all going to work out. So Gideon, he wrestles this out with God a little bit. If you want to read the rest of it in Judges 6, you can. But he finally gets to this place where he says, okay, I'm putting my confidence in who is leading me and who is telling me to do this. And he begins to trust God, and he starts recruiting an army to go to battle against the Midianites. He recruits 32,000 men, and he starts thinking, okay, maybe we're going to be okay. Like, we might have a chance. Because 32,000 was still small potatoes compared to the Midianite army. And then God says something shocking. He says this to Gideon. The Lord said, you have too many warriors with you. If I let you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves in their own strength. Boy, does the Lord know us well. He says, if I let you go to battle with this many people, they'll say, we did this on our own, and they'll forget about me. And God wasn't interested in building an army. God was interested in deepening their dependence on him. So he tells Gideon to reduce the size of his army. Have you ever heard someone say that God will not give us things beyond what we can handle? That's not true. The quote is actually from 1 Corinthians 10:13, and what Paul said is, the Lord will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle, beyond what you can bear, but he will faithfully provide a way out. That is specifically talking about sin, and that the Lord will faithfully give us an exit strategy when we are faced with temptation. But the Lord will 100% place us in circumstances and situations that exceed our capability, that exceed our knowledge, that exceed our skills, as evidenced with Gideon. Because the Lord is not interested so much in building our self-confidence as he is in deepening our dependence on him. And he knows sometimes the only way that we will learn to have confidence and trust in who is if we have to be dependent on him, completely dependent on him. And so Gideon has decided that he is going to have confidence in who, and he's not going to worry so much about the how, and so he starts to do the reducing thing. He reduces the army from 32,000 to 10,000. And then the Lord says, that's still too many. And so then he takes it from 10,000 to 300. That's maybe the number of people roughly in this room. 300 people is nothing But Gideon is confident in who. He's trying not to worry about the how. And so the Lord gives him a battle plan, which pay attention to that pattern. The Lord gives him the plan after he puts his confidence in who. Very often, it's when we take a step of confidence and trust in the Lord, then he'll give us the next step for how. And then we take another step with confidence and faith, and he gives us another how to. So now that he's told Gideon how to build the army, now he says, here's the battle plan. I want you to use no weapons. That sounds great. He says, you're going to take torches and you're going to cover them with clay jars, and in your other hand you're going to have a horn, and then you're just going to march toward the enemy, all 300 of you, and yell. That's the whole plan. But Gideon is confident in who. He's not worried about how. And so this is exactly what they do. And here's what we're told. All three groups, he divided them into groups of 100, blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hand and the horns in their right hands, and they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And to their surprise, the Midianites turned on each other and started fighting each other. And then the ones who were left standing ran away. The Israelites didn't have to fight anybody. They didn't have to do one thing. There was no casualty. They did not even have to battle at all. And as the Lord promised, they defeated the Midianites as if they were fighting one man. Remember when the Lord said that? You will defeat the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. And that's exactly what happened. 300 to 1, they ran away. This is how the Lord works, you guys. And it doesn't make any sense. And the battle plan looks crazy to us. But last week, Trey said, the Lord sees things differently than we do. And here we're learning, the Lord does things differently than we do. Amen? He does things differently. And his way looks upside down and left from right, don't make any sense to us. He wants surrender, not control. He wants trust rather than panic. And the Lord wants God confidence, not self-confidence. His ways are so different than ours. But they work. They just work. Over and over and over, God's ways work, which means that we can be confident in who is with us, even when we don't understand how. Think back to that soccer game I told you about a moment ago. We are like that sometimes. We're scrambling, trying to pull together a play, trying to hold on to control, thinking if we can just keep the ball in front of us, we'll be able to make something happen. And what ends up happening is we're exhausted. And we get angry, and then we get bitter because we're trying to play every position on the field. And we were never meant to carry all of that on our own. So if we could just trust who is with us and worry less about how it's all going to work out, we would be at so much more rest and peace. That's where rest and peace are found, and having confidence in who. I know if you are still exploring things of faith today, this might sound crazy to you. This kind of trust that we're talking about, and I get it. But for you, your next step today might not be full and total trust yet. It might just be being open to the idea that there is a God who sees the whole picture. And he does things differently, and he wants to walk with you in every battle. Every battle. You know, this summer, we've given you guys a reading plan for reading through the book of Proverbs because we're learning how to live in God's wisdom. And this week, we read Proverbs chapter 3 one day. And the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, tells us that we actually don't have to have full understanding. There's no expectation for us to understand all of God's ways. This is what the writer of Proverbs says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart And do not depend on your own understanding. Don't even try to make it all make sense. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. As we begin to take steps of trust, He opens the door for the next step. And then we begin a little bit more confidence, and He opens the door for the next step. With Gideon, he didn't agree to go into battle against the Midianites because he had it all figured out and he knew exactly how it was all going to go and he fully understood the battle plan. Gideon went to battle because he decided that he was going to put his confidence in who was with him and not be worried about how it was all going to work out. And so I think a question for us to wrestle with today is, where are we hesitating? Where are we scrambling and trying to figure out our next play because we're waiting for it to all make sense? Or we're trusting our own understanding, our own way, and trying to hold on to control? I want you to know that the Lord is not yelling at you from the stands and saying, try harder, hustle. He's whispering, pass me the ball. Trust me. And we can. He's a good, loving, and trustworthy God. And He goes with us into every battle. So the next time that you're facing something that is overwhelming and you feel underprepared and you're just totally outmatched, because I know some of you are facing some difficult things. Some of you are carrying financial responsibility on your shoulders, or you're in the middle of a medical treatment that comes with medical bills, or you're sending your firstborn to college, or you've been given a new position at work and it is beyond your knowledge and your experience, or your parents have said, hey, it's time for you to move out of the house. And it's scary, and you're going, how am I going to do this? I can't do this. But the Lord is with you. And I want to encourage you today to reframe your fear and your questions and your doubts by understanding that confidence comes from trusting who is with you, trusting that He will give you the next step. Not from knowing how it's all going to work out yet. He sees the big picture and His ways work differently. I really want you to remember this, so we're going to condense this a little bit. Because everybody can remember this. Who, not how. It's who, not how. You got to tell yourself that over and over. It's who, not how. When you're overwhelmed, who, not how. When you're under-equipped, it's who, not how. When you're outmatched, it's who, not how. He's with us, and He has a battle plan. Let's pray.